Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we read verse 25 to verse 35. We speak today, continue to speak about a family who is living God's will. And this will be part 4, and the subtitle for it will be Parents Should Not Manipulate the Plans of God for Their Children. We will read Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 35. Say, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's pray. God, thank you. Bless you for your word. Anoint my lips and put statement, scriptures, and lead the message, the flow according to your will. Pray for fruit here and to the other places that this message is going to be taken. Oh Lord, I pray for fertile soil in the heart of your people, that they would take it seriously. I pray for humility in each and everyone who listens, to go along what you are speaking through this word of yours. I pray for people to be saved. I pray for healing, health. I pray for answers of questions, and also clear the mind of your people as they hear your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Usually people, they love to hear man of God, or they love that they go to men of God, or they go to righteous people and they pray for them, and they think that they will receive the blessing of God when they meet such kind of people. And that's why you find people moving from meeting to meeting to meet such kind of personnel. But as we have read here, this man of God, this devout man who was, the Holy Ghost was on him. And what usually they do, they declare the will of God, they give the word of God, and the blessing of God will not come through their prayers or their laying on of their hands, but will come when you hear the message, put it into practice and obey it, the blessing of God will come into your life. Simon, he did not give partial message, economic or this one promotional message, but he gave the full message what God wants to tell to Joseph and Mary in that meeting. Church should not flatter people or families or parents or go along there wishes and dreams and egos and culture and tradition. The Holy Spirit was on him. He was moved. When the parents go inside, the Holy Spirit moved him. Asked him to move, and they moved, and he moved. In the temple, he met the parents, and he saw Christ. And the Lord had promised him that he will not be departing unless he will see Christ. And when he met the Lord, he was happy and joyous, not because only he had met Christ, but also because his time for his departure had come, because he was an old age, and old age, infirmities, he may have some limitation in walking, in the eye vision, other functions of the parts of his body, and it is better for him to be with the Lord, as Paul says, it is better for me to depart and be with the Lord, but for your sake I am going to be with you. So he was glad when he knew that he'd be taken by the Lord, his infirmities, his sicknesses, his limitation of body because of age, it will be vanished as he will be with the Lord. And certain time we are having certain difficulties in our body, in our physical bodies, but as we pray, trust the Lord, hope on him, one day all this will be disappearing, if not this time on earth, but when we meet the Lord in heaven. But that is not the message. Let us go back to the heart of God and what God wants to tell us today from his word. Simeon declared three things about Jesus in verse 30. He say, "For my eyes have seen the salvation." So Christ is the salvation of God. Christ, through him, through his death on the cross, we are saved by the blood of Jesus. In verse 31, he declared also, "Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." Christ's salvation not only for the nation of the Jews, but for all the nations, not for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, and the Gentiles, all the nations that are available now, Christ, his death on the cross, is salvation for them as a desire to come to him. And in verse 32, what more he spoke about Christ, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. Christ is the light, and he is the light to lighten the life of those who believe on him. As we come to Christ, accept him as Savior and Lord, let him lead us, let his word rule and reign in our life, he will be bringing light unto us. We will see the world in the light of God. We will see the world in the way that God sees it, not in the way that the people see it. That is the light that Christ, when enter each and everyone's life, we start to see things clearly and things well explained to us when Christ entered our life. You know, the parents were so happy when they heard that. And see in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled. They were so glad when Simeon spoke this about their child. You know, every mother and every father, you know, every parent, when they hear like this about their children, they are so happy, because that is their ego, no? That is our ego. Sometimes papa asks that, oh, somebody had admired my children and somebody had given a good report, and he prophesies a very good prophecy about their child. They are happy more. In verse 34 it says, and Simeon blessed it then. So he also blessed the parents. And you know, after that, after he blessed the parents, he gave the message in full. He said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, You know what he told? He told her, behold. It means that, well, I don't know if she was blind or she closed her eyes, but the behold, it means that you look. It means that you are not looking, you are not seeing what is this child is going to pass through. It is calling for attention. Behold, this child will be the reason to cause some people to fall and somebody to rise. He's speaking about turbulences. Speaking that Christ will come into people's life to disturb, to cause conflict, to cause problems, to cause people to go into trials. And he told her also that, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, there will be a position against him. And he told her that people will be rise up and people will be fall in Israel. So the conflict will be inside the family of God where he is born. As an Israelite, as a Jewish, he will find a greater position from the Jewish nation. And he continued, he said, yes, he confirmed it. Yes, don't be amazed. That's what's going on. A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. He told her there'll be a sword, that will be a sword, will penetrate you, that will pierce you through and through. And he'd say also that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Christ will cause you pain in your heart, speaking to the mother, and God also speaking to your parents. And because the plans of God for each and every one of us and for our children is contradict of our all thoughts and imagination. Parents, from my experience, they will do all what they can. They use the scripture, they use the Holy Spirit, they use the testimony also to manipulate the plan of God for their children. Especially when coming to their suffering, to their humiliation, to the going to the narrow gate, the parents are very good to pull up the children and move away toward worldliness and hell and destruction. But the word of God stands forever. What he said about Christ and the thought of many hearts may be revealed. They marveled when he spoke good things about him, about the salvation, but now he's telling her that such conflict that he will pass through, and you will be passing through it. Not physically you will be passing through it, but you will be passing through it emotionally until you accept the plan that God has for your child. He did not speak here to the two parents. Although Joseph was there, he was listening, sure, he was listening. But he was addressing the message here to Mary. Usually family composed of father and mother. Both of them strong. Sometimes one of them strong, other weak. Some of them, both of them are weak. So the message will go to each and every one of us according to our status before the Lord. Whether we are willing or we are not willing to follow, then the message will go also accordingly. Why the message was given to Mary, not to Joseph? What is written about Joseph, he was a just man. He knows the scriptures. Mary was also a blessed woman. She is a righteous woman. But the scripture also showed that Mary was hectic in her faith when the Lord was moving to do the service of God. The scripture does not show negative things about Joseph, what Jesus doing there. Ministry. Some they say that Joseph was dead while Jesus was doing his service. It might be that is the reason, that there is nothing about him, and that's the message did not go to him, but go to Mary. But let us go to the scriptures, and we will learn what the Mary tried to manipulate what God had ordained for her son. Let's go to the book of John. Even if Joseph died, God still wants his family to do his will. Family is in a mission. Everyone wants his child to be the best in the school, the best in the education, the best in the college, the best in getting job. True, right? The best in getting the salary, the best in getting married, the best place he will, not from the spiritual point of view, the best in the, from the worldly point of view. That's where so people competitive to do that. But coming to the suffering, humility, chastening, discipline, we try our best to compromise. Now Christ did not comply with the manipulation of his mother because he is God. But our children will be easily manipulated by the willingness of the parents, by their non-willingness to follow God, because they have flesh, they are human. But we must know, when we manipulate them to pull them away from what God wants them to be, then we are assuring that they will have no blessing of God in their lives. Church should give a clear message, no flattering, no discount, when coming to prophetic message about what God wants this family to do. In the book of John, chapter 2, in the first miracle that Jesus did, say, on the third day, verse 1 to 4, and on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now here, the first interference of Mary with the mission of Jesus, with the work of Jesus. Now, we may go through the story why she had told her son that they don't have wine. Maybe she wants to help them, and she wants her son to be the way that she can help those people. Or maybe she's ashamed because she was invited and her son came and his disciple came. You know, we are many, you see, because maybe they don't have because of us. Can you do something about this? Here she moved by the emotion or feelings, or maybe that is my son and he can do miracles, you know, because she knows that he is God, he is the Savior. And let him, if he want to do something, let him do it for, no. Have you get the point here? It is something she put herself forward. Yes, that is her son, but she forget that he is her Lord. From the answer of Christ to her, what he told her, what have I to do with thee? Why you are interfering? My hour is not yet come. In home, you are my mother, I agree about that, but in God's service, I am your Lord. Mary, she got a lesson from that. In verse 5, his mother said unto his servants, unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, I believe that the scripture speaks in good places about Mary, especially about this first miracle that Jesus did when he changed the water into the wine. The Catholic faith, I believe, because of her interference, they got confused that Mary has the divine rule. Now, I'm not saying that the scripture speaks that. But her bad example had effect them. They are accountable for their wrongdoing, because the scripture very clearly say that Mary is a hand made of God. She is not divine. That's what I want to say here. We need to be very particular of what would the Word of God say and what God wants us to do. Nothing there in the emotions in doing the service of God. The same chapter, chapter 2, verse 12. Mary continued with him. See, when he started his service, Mary was with him and his brethren also was with him. In verse 12, you can read it from the same chapter, John 2:12. He says, after this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren, so his family, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. So here she was part and parcel of the early church. But later on, the scripture does not say that she was moving with him. Later on, we find that she wanted to be putting him out. In Mark chapter 3, you see, she's moving with him. And in her mind, what Simon had said, she marveled, but the sword that will pierce your heart, that I want to cut it from the plan of God, that it will not work. We want our children the best in everything. How about best in suffering for Christ? We are refraining from that. We can't change the scriptures. In Mark chapter 3, it's a spiritual battle. You know, emotion, self-pity is the most dangerous foothold that devil will use against us. Mark chapter 3, and we will read from verse 31 to 35. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing withal sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat down about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren withal seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked around about him, round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. You see here, in John 2, she was moving with him, changing the water to the wine. We like such miracles. Yeah? Giving jobs, healing, we love such miracles. Yeah? But now she is moving away. Instead of she would be the one part of those who listened, she was waiting outside and asking him to move outside. And the crowd told him, behold, your mother, you are listening to your mother outside. He told them, behold, those are those who follow the will of God. So clearly now we can see there is different mind. Mary moved with her emotions, Christ moving with the will of God. Now why his mother came to take him out, or they were waiting for him to move outside the meeting and be with them. If we read verse 21, and when his friend heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. The people, they start to speak about Jesus that he is beside himself. It means that his mind is not normal. This man is not normal. But that's not the reason. If you read verse 22, so we can understand why Mary and his brethren, they went to take him out. In verse 22 say, and the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. No, he was casting out demons. Those scribes, they say that he is having demon inside him, he's having Beelzebub, and that through this Beelzebub, he's casting out demons. That's also not the reason. You know what is the reason? The scribes came from where? Came from? No. They came from Jerusalem. They came to investigate about him. It means the issue, his issue, his case is already in front of the Sanhedrin. They are already disturbed about him. He had already caused disturbance far away. Now they send somebody to investigate what he is doing. So Mary was reminded about what Simeon told her. He will cause some to fall, some to rise, and there will be signs spoken against him. That's why she wanted to take him, to pull him out from that meeting, because already the issue is higher authority of the church is disturbed by his the way of teaching. See the emotion? The work of devil will escalate when the truth and the word of God is preached without compromising. And more as church we're going to face. The more we speak against idol worship and practices, the more devil will fight. And we need to hold our emotion, put it aside, and go with what God is speaking to us. Let's go further about the effect of the duplicity of Mary in her faith toward Christ. Did she know that he is right, that he is doing the right things? Yes. Why is she moving this movement? Not doubt of his teaching, but her emotion had given way for her emotion. Her soul and her spirit. She has spirit and she is also soul. She has the Holy Spirit and she has her soul. And that soul was moving by the emotion, disturbing the work of the Holy Spirit in her life, in the life of her family. In John chapter 7, say after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry. They already mark him. Because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacle was at hand, and the brethren therefore said unto him, depart thence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou dost it. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show yourself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. You know those brethren that mentioned, they don't believe in him. The same brethren that they were with him when he was changing the water into the wine. Why now that is their mind? Because the confusion that Mary brought into their mind by her lack of faith. You know, when we are moved with our emotions to do things against God's will, to manipulate that our children and our life, we should not go through suffering, we are worshipping idols. We are imparting confusion. We are not imparting what God wants to do in the life of ours and in the life of other people. Finally, Mary was faced by the truth. I said earlier, Mary could not manipulate Christ plans, Christ, God's plans. God had a plan for Christ. She was not able to manipulate because he's God. But we can manipulate the plans of God for our children. Because they are not God, they are flesh. But let us remember, there's no blessing left for them if you do that. We need to bear it, we need to go through it, control the emotion. Emotion is number one enemy of us. Finally, Mary was faced with the prophetic message that Simeon had said when he said, "A soul shall pierce your soul." In John chapter 19, verse 25 to 27, he say at his crucifixion, when he was crucified, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then said he to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour thy disciple took her unto his own home." Here, Mary, she realized that the plan of God will go on. I cannot do anything against it. I need to go through it and with it. And here she accepted that Christ is her Lord, and she is a woman, and she needs to be a woman who serves God. Mary was reminded of her vow, of her commitment. Parents, fathers, mothers, workers, church members, one day in your life you have said to the Lord, "Lord, I will serve you." And God is calling you today to what you had spoken out from your mouth. In Luke chapter 1 verse 38, when the angel of the Lord announced to her that she will be pregnant by the Holy Ghost and she will bear a son, and she will call him Jesus. After he explained everything to her, her final word to the message of the angel say, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. But she told him, "Behold, look at me, I am the handmaid of the Lord." She didn't say, "I am the mother of the Lord." "I am the handmaid of the Lord, whatever. Be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever you say, let come the truth into my life. God today is reminding us about our commitment. As we are facing struggles and battles, but our commitment and what we need to do in the correct way, God is calling us about it today, not to go along our feelings or our emotions. We need to apply God's word. Finally, Mary, the good news. Mary, she become a good example to other people. And we can read that in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And we can read them. What Mary did when she accepted that Christ is her Lord, not her son. And I need to follow his will, not my emotion. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13 and verse 14. What Mary said, what Mary did, when the scripture spoke about Mary, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, these are the apostles. In verse 14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So here, Mary came back. She brought his brethren to be under the apostles of the church. Okay? When she returned from her wrong mind, she brought the whole family back into Christ to be under the leadership of the apostles. And the word of God that Simeon, the devout man of God, spoke, coming through in her life, yeah, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Yes, the sword here, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, 17, say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Today the word of God is a sword to penetrate. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse, it shows us what is the struggle that you are in your life as parents, as father, as mother, as members. And say, where is the problem, where is the defect that need to be healed and repaired today? Say, in verse 12, Hebrews 4, verse 12, say, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's where here the sword of the Spirit. A sword shall pierce your soul. That's where the soul is connecting with the emotion and thinking and all understanding and all wisdom that contradict to the Spirit and of the joys and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Let's all stand. Let us be reminded today what we had promised the Lord and how we resisting Him. We here the Lord knows that we love Him, God knows that you love Him, but the soul and the spirit should not be controlled by the emotion. We need to go back to God, using our heart and mind and thoughts, and committing our life unto Him. Behold thy handmaid, behold thy servant. Lord, teach us your ways. Help us to pass us through, Lord, all what you have ordained for us. Thank you for your word. I pray a simple heart that will accept, that will change, that you will put aside our own plans and pride and ego and emotions and go along the narrow way that you had ordained for us, for our children, for our ministry, for our church, O God. I pray, Lord, I pray for fruit that come from your word. O God, teach me your ways, O Lord. Guide us. Teach us, and I will walk, O God. Teach us, Lord. Your truth. remove anything that's standing between me and your love to you, between you and your love to my brothers and sisters, O God. Remove it, O Lord, so that your peace and your love will reach each and every one. Thank you, God. We pray for food. Pray that you take the message. Make it reach those who need it. God bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us and keep us not from harm, so that we not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Christ's name. Amen and amen.